Okay, the oddest thing happened recently. Within like a day, I got two questions, two shailas, both about the use of Waze and Halacha. Waze, the app, you know. So I thought, why don't we talk about the halachas of Waze? Now, if you can think of more shailas that come up when using Waze, let me know. But these are the two that came up. Question number one: there was a fellow that was flying in from Chicago for a levaya of, I believe it was a great aunt in Connecticut, and it was a graveside service, and she was being buried in a very tiny cemetery in Connecticut. So he asked for the address of the cemetery. Apparently, it is so tiny that it doesn't have an address, but it's right across the street from a massive Buddhist temple. So all you have to do is enter the name of the Buddhist temple on Waze, and then you can't miss it because it will bring you to the Buddhist temple, and that, the cemetery is right across the street. So what could possibly be the problem with that? No, not Marasayim. So there is a Gemara in Masechet Sanhedrin on Daf Samach Gimel, where the Gemara tells us, I was prepared to have it, right? So the Gemara tells us, V'shem Elohim Acherim Lo Saskiru. That's not the Gemara, that's the Chumash, right? The Chumash says you're not allowed to mention Shem Elohim Acherim, names of other gods of Avodah Zarah. Shelo Yomar Adam L'Chaviro. A person should not say to his friend, Shemor Li B'tzad Avodas Kol Chavim Plonis. Hey, I'll meet you near this Avodah Zarah. Now, what is this if not saying, I'll meet you near this Avodah Zarah? Meaning, how do I get to our meeting place, the funeral? It's right across the street from the Avodah Zarah. So just, tell Waze the Avodah Zarah. Meaning, one is not supposed to use Avodah Zarah as a landmark. So is this permissible? What might that be if there is one? So that was shaila number one that came up with the use of Waze. The other shaila is probably more practical, but I guess less unique, less interesting on a certain level, but more interesting on a practical level.
Here, he's not telling his friend. He's putting it in the computer.
Okay, so we'll discuss in a moment, but let's just mention the other shaila. The other shaila was that if you're driving, if you ever had this experience, where you're driving and you want to enter an address into Waze while you are driving, it will pop up and say, uh-oh, you're driving, your car, it seems that you're moving. Are you a passenger? So are you allowed to lie to your smartphone and tell it that you are a passenger when in fact you are not a passenger? Is that a violation of any sort of isser to lie to your smartphone? So that was that's a little more nogea probably, unfortunately. But that's the other question. Which one do you want to talk about first? Second one first, more practical, okay? So I guess we'll get to both of them. It happens to be on the first one, I thought, it's not really much of a shaila, I didn't think it was such a... And I had two other shailas the same week that I thought were much more, much bigger shailas. I sent all three to Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein that week to see what he had to say, and he sent me back, for the other two that I thought were much more serious shailas, three lines on each of them. And for this one with the GPS, he sent me back these two pages of a tshuva on this shaila. So, okay, but let's talk about the other one first. Can you lie to your GPS? What is the issue? What's the problem?
Not
let a lie. Good.
I was going to say that you're endangering others on the road.
So first of all, fundamentally, the biggest problem is probably v'nishmartem el nefesh seichem. Not only v'nishmartem el nefesh seichem to watch over your own health, what about everybody else on the road? There's a video that's been going around the internet, it's already come around to me twice, of a guy, a truck driver, Nebuch, who was driving his truck, and there's a video inside the truck, and it shows him going to his iPod to change the song, just for a second. To change the song on his iPod, and he rams into five cars in front of him and kills three people. And it's a very, very big sakana to be doing these kinds of things while one is driving. So it goes without saying that it is not right and probably forbidden on two levels, on your own requirement to protect yourself and your requirement not to be a menace to society, for one not to be engaged in this kind of thing while driving. It is worth pulling over to not. But that wasn't the question. The question was, is it a violation of lying? Is it an issur of telling a lie? So let's focus on that, right? Is this a violation?
Isn't the question is the lying like a tree dropped from the forest, right? Like, is the lying?
Ah, very good. If let's say I were to go home tonight and everyone's sleeping in my house and no one's awake, I go and I stand in front of a mirror and I say, you know, Arya, you have the most beautiful hair. You know, like would I be in violation of a of any iser? It's not true, but would I be in violation of any iser? Who am I fooling? The mirror doesn't. You know, the mirror says I see you. You know, like so. Would it be a violation of any meaning if a tree falls in a forest and no one's there to hear it? So you know, you lie in a forest and no one's there to hear it. So is that? Because you're talking to a machine over here, so there's no. So, what exactly is the nature of the Isra of lying?
Is it like true to Machos Yedida? That because you're not supposed to be texting? That's why they're asking that question, probably, because, you know, people are reporting while they're driving.
So meaning, they're probably legally obligated to have that reminder there, but then it's your responsibility to handle that, responsibly. But in terms of the Isra of lying, I don't think it has anything to do with the Machos Yedida. They probably have to have that, and it's the smart thing for them to have, because hopefully you have a conscience, and like you'll say, whoa, I really probably shouldn't be doing this. And hopefully it works on some people. But that's, I think, beside the point. Yeah?
Maybe the original fact that the designers of the app intended for a specific purpose. I mean, I guess it was similar to what you were saying. Like, if they're going into it knowing, like,
oh, that's interesting. Meaning, when you download the app, you click an agreement of some sort, right? So part of the agreement might be, I don't know, we should read it. No one ever did, probably be the first ones to do so. Part of the agreement might be that I hereby agree to use this app as intended. And if they built into the app that you're not supposed to be doing this while you are driving, so it could be that you're stealing that app. Now, it's not stealing in the conventional sense, because this is more like... Right, but you signed this contract to commit to a certain mode of behavior that you are now violating. So that's a form of a lie also, meaning you, even if not telling the lie per se, but that creates a certain benadam l'chaveru element. I hear that. I didn't think of that before. That's an interesting point. Yeah?
Isn't it like a bit rushing or different? Like,
maybe we have to stay away? All right, so why do we have to stay away from a lie? Why do we have to not lie? So let's get to the core of the issue over here. Where does it say in the Torah that you're not allowed to lie? So the Torah says, midvar sheker tirchak shmos parachav gimel, Pasuk Zayin. What is the context that the Torah tells us that one is not allowed to lie? So the Torah says, Lo sata mishpat avyoncha berivo midvar sheker tirchak v'naki v'tzadik al taro ki lo atztik rasha v'shochad lo tikach ki ashochad yaver pichim misalif divrei tzadikim. Justice should prevail. Make sure the innocent are declared innocent, the guilty are declared guilty. Make sure you don't take any bribes. What are we talking about over here? Court, right? We're clearly talking about in Beis Din. So the question is, does Midvar Sheker Tirchak apply outside of Beis Din, or is that an issue that's only in Beis Din? So that's from a Midvar Sheker Tirchak perspective. And that's an interesting discussion in the Rishonim. Sefer Achinuch in Mitzvah Ayin Dalid says that it's a general iser even outside of Beis Din. It just happens to be that the Torah mentions it in the context of Beis Din. Yadak Tan explains that Beis Din is the most common place where there's a big taiva to lie. You have the most to gain from a lie. It's the most extreme example where it's most impactful if you lie, because someone's fate is being decided based on whether you're telling the truth or a lie. So maybe that's why the Torah Dafka uses that example, because that's where it makes the greatest impact. But maybe in a Chinami, the Isser exists everywhere, not only in Beis Din. On the other hand, the Smag writes that the lav is only in the courtroom, but he does say there is a separate inyan of telling the truth anyway. Meaning the Midvar Sheker Tirchak, the formal Isser of Midvar Sheker Tirchak, is only in the courtroom. But aside from that, a person is supposed to be a truthful person. Now, where does that come from? That a person is supposed to be a truthful person aside from Midvar Sheker Tirchak. So where that comes from is the Gemara in Shabbos Taf Nun Hei Amud Aleph. The Gemara tells us, Chosamo Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Emes. That the seal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Emes. What does it mean it's the seal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It means that if you, it's the identifying characteristic of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, every, you know, Rav Blachman from Karen Biavna likes to explain that, you know, when we describe certain things, we often use subjective terminology. Good, nice, beautiful, right? Subjective terminology. What's good to one person, not good to another person. What's beautiful to one person, not beautiful to another person. The best we can say about HaKadosh Baruch Hu is when we use something objective. Truth is truth. It's not, there's no subjective truth. There's no, what was it, Stephen Colbert, truthiness? There's no, truth is truth. There's, it's a single objective truth. So we talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu being MS. That is the Chosamash HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Well, what does that have to do with me? I'm not Hashem. No one thinks I'm Hashem. Even my daughter, she thinks I'm great, but she doesn't, I think, there's no one on earth that thinks I'm better than my daughter does at this age. But there's, but you know, even she knows I'm not Hashem at this point. 2 years ago she thought I was, but at this point, she, one of my kids when they were younger, we were showing them our wedding album, and I pointed to Rosh Hashanah, I said, who's that? And the kid said, Hashem. I'm like, oh boy. I really got to tone down my Rosh Hashanah Chassidus. where was I? Yeah, so what does that have to do with me? So there is a Gemara, yeah, which you're going to say. We have to emulate him. The Torah says, "Valachta bedrachav." We're supposed to follow in the ways of Hashem. The Gemara wonders, how on earth does one do that? Valachta bedrachav. So there are two different Gemaras. One Gemara that says, "Oh well, what do we know about Hashem? We know that he was mevaker cholim when Avraham Avinu was six. So we should be mevaker cholim. We know he was malbish harumim when Adam and Chava had no clothing. So we should be malbish harumim." Another Gemara that says, no, it's not about malbish harumim mevaker cholim. The other Gemara highlights entirely different things. That mahu rachum, mafata rachum, mahu chanun, mafata chanun. Why two different Gemaras, each one quoting a different pasuk, by the way, to tell me that I should be like Hashem? I get it. You're supposed to imitate Hashem. So Rav Asher Weiss explains, I think many others explain this way as well, that there are two separate mechayvim over here. Malbish harumim, mevaker cholim. Those are clearly mitzvahs b'ra'al l'chavero. You do, someone else benefits, right? You're doing directly for another person. Chanun, rachum. Those are kinds of things that are just about making yourself better. Being a more godly personality, making yourself a better person, not about specific actions, about self improvement, right? That's what that's about. So if we're told that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is MS, we are supposed to not only tell the truth to other people in El Chavero, but to be MS. So that's what it really boils down to. Is the Isser, just a moment, is the Isser of Midvar Sheker Tirchak, or the Isser to tell a lie, let's not call it the Isser of Midvar Sheker Tirchak, because Midvar Sheker Tirchak is almost certainly Ben Adam Lechavero. But is, whatever the Isser is to tell a lie, is that Isser purely Ben Adam Lechavero, or is it even Ben Adam Laatzmo? L'may nafkamina? Well, there could be several nafkaminas. One nafkamina is, what if it doesn't harm anybody? It doesn't affect anybody. No one's going to get hurt by this lie. The Sefer Yireyim in Reish Lamed Hei writes that it's not an issur d'oraisa if no one's going to get hurt by this lie. The Gemara in the second paragraph of Masechta Ksuvos has a famous machlokes, Ketzan Meraktin Lifnei HaKala, right? So Beis Shammai says, Kala kibo shehi. You describe what she is. Okay, you know, she's this, she's that, whatever she is. An accurate assessment. Come with your checklist and assess the Kala fairly and accurately. Beis Hillel says, no, Kala na v'chasuda. She could be the opposite of beautiful and graceful, and nevertheless you say, na v'chasuda. So Beis Shammai says to Beis Hillel, midvar sheker tircha. You're not allowed to tell a lie. So what does Beis Hillel say back? What does the Gemara say? Beis Hillel says, you go to the store and your friend, your neighbor goes to the store and he buys, you know, he's so proud of the brand new, you know, I just bought this this coat on Groupon. So that's where I do my shopping. And for $50, I got this beautiful coat. And I was like, wow, I love it. And my wife is like, there's fur in the hood and you're a rabbi. I'm like, I don't care. But are you supposed to say stuff like that? Or do you say, wow, great deal. I can't believe you got such an amazing deal. And so smart of you to buy clothing on Groupon. You know, but so when someone buys something nice, you're supposed to say nice things about what they bought. You're not supposed to say not nice things, but why? They say, what about Midrash Sheker Tirchak? How did Beis Hillel answer the question?
Shalom.
So there are several ways to explain it. One possibility is for shalom, it's an exception. Another possibility, maybe there's no issur lie when no one's getting hurt by the lie. Meaning this, maybe that's exactly what Beis Hillel is saying. That's what the Arayim seems to say. That if it's not ra to anybody, it's not harmful to anybody, so maybe there's no issur to lie. Most Rishonim assume not that way. The Yada Ketana points out, the Lashon of midvar sheker sounds like any untruth is included, meaning any dvar sheker, it's on your dibur. Any dibur of sheker is automatically prohibited. Another nafkamina might be, what if you just hear lies? You don't say lies, you hang around politicians all day. So you're listening to sheker after sheker after sheker. But you're never saying a single lie. So if the iser is made on the atzmo, so it can't be good for the neshama to expose yourself to lie after lie after lie. But if it's made on the chaver, you're not hurting anybody. Rav Daniel Feldman in his sefer, in his first book, The Right and the Good, he's written several books already, but in the first book, The Right, and all about Pinon Lechavero, in his book, The Right and the Good, he has a whole chapter on truth and lying, and he quotes a sefer, Ateres Yirmiyahu, on Sefer Shemos. Don't ask me who, I have no idea who that is, but who suggests that even hearing lies is included in Tirchak. It's an unusual lashon, Midvar Sheker, Tirchak. Normally, if you have a losa say in the Torah, how would you say it? Hishomer, pen, al, lo. What's tirchak? So there are two ways to take that. You could say, okay, it's not a formal lo sasei. It's just, you know, it's not the nice thing to do. Or you could say, no, it's much stronger than a regular lo sasei. Normally, you just can't do it. This is tirchak. You need to go even further. So that's how Teres Yirmiyahu says, you're not even allowed to listen to a lie. It's like Lashon Hara. You have to stay away from it. Others suggest there's a Chuvah in the Minchas Elazar, Chayil Gimel Sumin Yud Ches, where he suggests, no, you know what Tirchak means? Normally we have rules, Safek Drabban Lakula. Svek Sveka on a Daraisa can even be Lakula. But Tirchak means even from a Svek Sveka you have to be Machmir. That get as far away from the lie as you possibly can. Aznayim Latorah of Saratskin and Aznayim Latorah suggests, no, Tirchak means that even if you have to say something that's not true, you have to lie to somebody, make sure that your words are not patently false. Meaning, do a Yaakov Avinu. Right. Anochi Esav Becherecha. Even if you have to lie, make sure that the words themselves aren't necessarily a lie. Orcha Sadikim and Shara Emes suggest maybe Tirchak means not to even inadvertently say something that's a lie. A number of different suggestions. Now, the Tosos Maseches Bava Basra and Daf Tzadi Dalet Amud Beis suggests that maybe Tirchak means, and this is most nogea to us over here, maybe Tirchak means that even though, generally speaking, there is a discussion, ksiva kedibur dami, ksiva lav kedibur dami, is writing the same as speaking, maybe when it comes to a sheker, ksiva is for sure kedibur dami. And Tosus writes, mishas ksiva hu da'avarle al midvar sheker tirchak. When you write, from the moment of writing, you have violated midvar sheker tirchak. So it would seem that you can't get away with saying, well, I'm not talking a lie to ways, because if you are typing the lie or pushing the lie, right, that's also a sheker. So what it boiled down to, we were in the middle of discussing, is ben on l'chavero or ben adam la'atzmo. So we suggest nafkamina, it doesn't harm anybody. Nafkamina, if you just hear lies. What if you tell a lie that is, not only doesn't harm, it's completely benign? It has zero effect whatsoever. I'll give you an example. I was just in Dallas, Texas this past Shabbos, and on Motzei Shabbos, I got together with an old rabbinic colleague from the Five Towns who has since moved to Dallas, Texas, and is a rabbi of a large shul there, Rabbi Ariel Rakovsky. So I said to him, okay, where can we go? Like, you know, where do people hang out over here? So I didn't want to see people riding bulls or, you know, I didn't want to have to shoot anything. So he said, "We, you know, there's nothing, nowhere to go." So I said, how about Starbucks? Okay, we'll go to Starbucks. The Star K and the OU have just recently confirmed that certain flavors of Frappuccinos are kosher, which is a huge story for me because I never had a Frappuccino in Starbucks. So I'm like, okay, here's my opportunity. Delicious, by the way. So I could see why all the, those people with, before they knew it was kosher wanted it so badly. But okay, anyway, so we went to Starbucks, and in Starbucks, when you make an order, what do? They ask you your name. Yeah, so I'm in Dallas, Texas. My name is Arye. I don't have an English name. So like, I just don't want to deal with it. I don't want to deal with the conversation, the conversation that ensues. Harry, I don't want to deal with it. So I have this thing, my wife makes fun of me, but I do this in these kinds of situations. Dave is my alter ego. Because Dave is very easy to say, it's very easy to, you know, pronounce. There's no...
Aren't there issues with that other than the language?
What else? What besides the line?
Maybe it'll be like,
I know I'm a chakra, but what else am I? What else am I? They don't care my name. They just want to be able to call out a name that the order's ready. I could say... I didn't like Bart Simpson then.
Moshe described himself as an Egyptian, and Hashem criticized him for it. But Yosef, even in the shrine, described himself as an Ivri. Maybe there's a certain sense of a Jewish part to your name.
I think I look Jewish.
David is not Jewish.
David's a Jewish name, too. The first David was Jewish.
So
anyway, so is that an iser? If it's totally benign, so if Yol's been on the atzma, maybe yeah, you're allowed to lie even to yourself. This is discussed in the Tshuvas v'Darashta v'Chakarta Chel Gimel Yerdes and Memtes. What about the following? Let's take a nafkamina that goes the other way. You withhold elements of the truth, thereby harming the other person. You didn't lie; you just didn't tell them everything, and that caused harm. So that ben adam lechavero, that still might be a violation. Ben adam liatzmo, you have not trained yourself to lie. Maybe is it something that you can correct by telling the truth afterwards?
I mean, to what extent do you just say everything when you're applying to a school? Or
I'm saying when you know that it's helpful to a person and the person needs more information than you're giving them. You know, someone calls you about a shidduch and you know that this person is just. Whatever, tested for a terrible disease that's going to affect, you know, you don't leave that, you don't mention that. You just mention that they're such a nice person and this and that, right? Something like that.
Well, that's pretty important information.
Yeah, exactly. That's the point. If it's an Isra'el on the Chaveru, you can correct it by telling the truth. If it's an Isra'el on the Matzma, not so clear that telling the truth is enough of a correction. Right, because the lie has had an effect on one's neshama. So there's definitely what to discuss, whether it's in all these nafkaminas. Probably it's both. Probably it's in Issa ben Adam l'chavero, Yidvar Sheker Tirchak, certainly in Bezdin, probably outside of Bezdin as well. And probably it's in Issa ben Adam l'atzma as well, because Chosam Hashem Kodesh Baruch Hu Emes Mahu Af Ata. So if that's the case, when one is asked, are you a passenger, and you click that you are, it's not ben adam l'chavero. You haven't violated anything ben adam l'chavero in that case, because there's no chavero, right? What have you violated? Ben adam l'atzmo. Now, what does that mean, to have violated ben adam l'atzmo? So I think it's an important distinction. A lot of times, we talk about isurim ben adam l'atzmo as if they are the same thing as nisur ben adam l'chavero. Isurim ben adam l'atzmo is another way of saying midos, right? So you can't say that a shortcoming in ben adam l'atzmo is a formal violation of an isur. It's like this long continuum of, you know, of a complicated personality and complicated life where, you know, Lamashal, you're standing in the corner there and you're watching someone walk by and the guy, you know, stubs his toe on the corner of the desk and he goes, ouch, or whatever, he lets out a shriek. And like, for some reason you think it's funny. So you smirk a little bit. Yeah, that's funny. So you probably could use some mussar. Right? You probably could work on yourself a little bit instead of feeling, you know, compassion. You like, did you violate a formal iser? You violate a law in the Torah or an essay in the Torah? Hard to say that. I don't think that's a, you know, if you see someone that could, you walk by a beggar on the street and you just don't feel anything. You didn't feel a deep sense of compassion. Okay, you could work on yourself. You should work on yourself to feel a greater sense of compassion. But a formal iser, I don't know that you can call it a formal iser. So a person clicks passenger, probably we have what to work on ourselves for. Anyway, you shouldn't do it because it's an issur of neshamat melden nafshos seichem and not to be posheya on the roads and everything else, whatever all the yisurim of driving recklessly are. So it's included in that. But a formal isser of lying, I don't think it's a formal. It's a benad la'atzmo type of isser, which means a midos. It's a chisaron in one's basic midos. Yeah.
The reason people are posting to help other people, let's say sometimes there's an object on the road, you don't want somebody to get into a crash with that object. So you're basically helping other people.
Well, Waze is meant to be a system that helps other people. Over here I'm talking about you're plugging in an address. Right? Like if you see, if they say object on the road, then you could either check or whatever. So, and your thing is on your dash. I think you're allowed to. Is it legal?
Yeah,
I think
you're
allowed to click check.
They don't ask if you're a
passenger. Right. That you're allowed to do. Yeah. That I think that's okay.
Could the source for not, I mean, I know we kind of just have a different one earlier. The source for not lying also be,
well, that's meaning that's an outgrowth of the source because it's also to do. That's why we have to say vidoy on it.
Also, isn't the whole thing
supposed to
say Yaakov is an ish
emes? Yeah, all of it. Akrosh Baruch Hu. Forget about Yaakov. Akrosh Baruch Hu. And more than that, you know, the Rav Shmuel Gamliel Omer al shlosh dvarim olam kayim al adin v'ala emes v'ala shalom. It's keeping the world going. Emes is a very, very, that's a mission in First Pirkei Avos. Emes is a very important value. Look, is it the highest value in Judaism? No. Meaning there are situations where one is allowed to say something that's untrue. The Gemara in Yevamistav Samachay says, Mutala la'adam l'shanos bedvar ha-shalom. You're allowed to lie for the sake of shalom. The Gemara brings a story. Vadoniza kein, Sarah says, and Hashem says that she says vaniza kanti. Kadosh Baruch Hu is mishana. Even the chasam mishana Kadosh Baruch Hu. Still, he's mishana mipnei hashalom. And you know that's an interesting chakira. Also, Rabbi Feldman quotes in the sefer when we say that you're mishana mipnei hashalom. Is it that shalom is a higher value than MS? Or do we assume that it's simply not called the sheker when it's for the sake of shalom? That b'makom shalom, that's the definition of sheker, is sheker not for the sake of shalom. Okay. You also have to be careful about mishalom b'nei shalom. Sometimes people think, it would make my life easier. So that's shalom. That's not necessarily shalom. Something that makes your life easier. It has to be a significant shalom issue. Yeah.
When the Mishnah says, Rishon ben Shatach, said
from, you should be careful because from your words someone would be able to lie or something. So how does that mean here? I mean,
I don't know how, it doesn't really relate to weight, but in general, lying.
Yeah, so if you look in the Sugya in Shavuot and Daf Lamed Aleph, where it talks about Midvar Sheker Tirchak, it gives like 8 examples of Midvar Sheker Tirchak. The only thing they all have in common is none of them is an actual lie. They're all about situations that promote something that's untrue. An untrue agenda, which gives you the impression that tirchak means more than a regular lab. Regular lab. Well, we didn't. That wasn't our topic. We didn't discuss that.
How would that issue?
With in your car with your weight.
I'm saying in general, it's not lying. Is that a violation also?
It could be. Could be if you're going to be suspected, you know, that depends on the situation, depends on the mitzvahs. Now, what about this other shayla? What about the question of putting in the name of the Buddhist temple? So whenever I discuss this, someone always raises their hand and says, wait, Buddhism isn't Avodah Zarah. Yes, it is. Okay, we consider Buddhism to be Avodah Zarah. I don't think there's any...
For them and for us?
Definitely for us and probably for them too. So I don't think there's any posuk that says that Buddhism is not Avodah Zarah. Certainly there are different strands of Buddhism. Some Buddhists only believe in basic tranquility and whatever, and it's like on top of whatever religion you have. Others believe in it as a deity. Whatever they're doing, they're being maktir ketores to Buddha. Okay, whether it's as a god or not as a god, that's classic Avodah Zarah. So that's, it's a major Buddhist temple is a makam Avodah Zarah. I think that's a double passion. We're not getting into yoga right now. Yeah.
This question, it's not just for like typing it in for ways, but it's in general, right? Like if I want to say, oh, meet me near,
No, the Gemara.
Try to explain an area, and it's just like, oh, it's.
Yeah, to use a church as a landmark, the Gemara says Zasu.
But again, you're not telling anyone.
The Gemara says, okay, so good. So that's the issue. What's the issue of using a church as a landmark? As using a base of a desire as a landmark. So on the one hand, it could just be just mentioning the shame of the Avodah Zarah. On the other hand, it could also be that by using that as a landmark, you're giving it chashivus. That instead of saying, meet me next to the post office, because the post office is a recognizable, clear thing. You chose to say, meet me next to the base of Avodah Zarah. Right? So that gives it chashivus. Oh, wow, there's such a big temple, you know, Buddhist temple, that if I need to tell you where to meet me, I have to use that as the landmark. It gives it a certain sense of chashivus.
Is that what's going on here?
That's exactly what the Gemara says, that you're not allowed to say, meet me near an Avodah Zarah.
You're not saying anything. Literally,
it's not about what your friend is hearing, though. It's not.
You're not even saying it.
So now you're talking about Ksiva Kedibur Dami, right? Is writing the same as saying? So that is an interesting discussion. And is typing the same as writing? But that we'll assume yes. The bulk of the tshuva that Rav Zilberstein sent me is about that. Is about whether writing is the same as saying. I'm not going to go. The tshuva wasn't written particularly clearly, so maybe I'll just make one or two references to it. Let me just give a little bit of background over here. There is a discussion in Rishonim. The Rush in Siman Gimel and Masech Sanhedrin over there discusses whether mentioning the shame of Avodah Zarah when there's no purpose to mentioning the shame, you just stop like to mention the shame, whether that's usur. But the Rush says, it's obvious from the Gemara that if you are mentioning it for a purpose, then for sure it's usur. So to say the shame of an Avodah Zarah for a purpose like as a direction or as where to meet, that's for sure usur. There is a curious Lashon in the Tur in Yerodeo Kuf Mem Zayin where he says that you're not allowed to mention the name of an Avodah Zarah afilu, even if there's no need to do so, which makes it sound like for sure if there is a need to do so. But probably the logic works the other way, right? It should have been afilu if there is a need to. Okay, whatever it is. That's a discussion. But it is clear in Shulchan Aruch, Kuf Mem Zayin, Sif Aleph, that you're not allowed to say the name of an Avodah Zarah whether or not you have reason to do so. And you're not allowed to say, meet me next to Avodah Zarah Plonis. So what are the possible kulas? What are the possible kulas? So first of all, in writing, does writing it help? Rav Menashe Klein in the Tshuva in Mishnah Alechos was asked about, he points out that this is not a new shaila. This is a very, very old shaila, because there are streets named after Avodah Zarahs in pretty much every country in the world. And if you happen to be living on such a street and someone wants to send you a letter, what are they supposed to do? How do they address an envelope? And Rav Menashe Klein goes on to say that, you know, it's one thing verbally when you're going to talk, you could always corrupt the name a little bit. You know, Rav Menashe Klein says Jews changed the name from Sanz to Tzanz, the Tzanz Arav. They made a Tzadi instead of a Samach because Sanz was a Shem Avodah Zarah. The Jews in many communities, Rabbi Beryl Wein likes to point out, have bastardized the names of their cities on purpose so that it won't sound like an Avodah Zarah. Most famously, Satmar. The Satmar Rebbe wouldn't say Satmar. He called it Sakmar because he didn't want to say the shame of an Avodah Zarah.
Is that really
whether it's true or not is irrelevant. But the point is that this was an old shaila. So Rav Menashe Klein suggests the following chiddush. Minchas Chinuch and Mitzvah Pei Vav says that the wording of the Isser indicates that the Isser is when the name is verbalized, not when it's written. Why? Because what does it say in Chumash? V'shem Elohim Acherim lo tazkiru. Lo tazkiru. What's zecher, tizkor? Well, we have where do we have zechira? Zechira Shabbos, zechiras Amalek. When it comes to zechiras Amalek, Megillah Daf Yud Zayin says zechira means to verbalize. That's why zechiras Amalek, zechiras Tzitzis Mitzrayim, zechiras Shabbos all have to be done verbally. And with hirhur alone, you're not yotze. Says Rav Menashe Klein, so mustam with ksiva, you're not yotze either. Meaning it's not called zechira. Whoa, wait a second. The Gemara is trying to say with hirhur you're not yotze. You know, hirhur is definitely less than dibur. Is ksiva definitely less than dibur? What's more impactful? What leaves a longer impression? Ksiva or dibur?
Dibur.
Oh, come on.
Is more impactful than
no, ksiva is still there when you leave.
Yeah, every time
you say dibur.
Different places.
Right, right.
Right,
the whole list. Right, exactly. So one may argue that writing is considered more substantial than thinking. So Menashe Klein's argument that writing it is not as big a deal very difficult to accept. The Beis Yitzchak and the Tshuva and Chelek Aleph and Kufnun Beis also thinks that the application of that Gemara Megillah is totally off base over here, specifically because by Avodah Zarah, one is the hearer of Avodah Zarah is Asur also. Now, that argument, you could say, well, wait a second. Hearer of Avodah Zarah is Asur means that if one has a hearer that he's accepting upon himself in Avodah Zarah, not a hearer of a shame of Avodah Zarah. That's not necessarily, we wouldn't necessarily say by Avodah Zarah that you'd say that. So that's one possible kula, that maybe Ksiva is different. The other kulas are totally not Nogaya. If the origin of the name is not really an Avodah Zarah, if it's a, no one is Oved that Avodah Zarah anymore, you know, those, none of those things are true over here. It's a temple that's currently in use. The Yerayim suggest that the Isser is not to say the name of an Avodah Zarah, but not say a name that inherently ascribes any sort of power or godliness. I think we spoke about this a few weeks ago, right, to the Avodah Zarah. I don't know. It depends what the name of the temple is. Probably the name of the temple is something, you know, very complimentary toward the Avodah Zarah. The other possibility, which I wasn't so thrilled with just because I don't find it in any of the earlier poskim, so I think it's maybe too big of a chiddush for someone in our generation to say. There is a rabbi who lives in Israel, Rabbi Yehuda Herzl Henkin, whose grandfather was one of the Gedolei Israel. And he suggests the following, that Shulchan Aruch says you're not allowed to say the name of an Avodah Zarah whether it's necessary or not. But he says that there are three possible circumstances where one would use the name of an Avodah Zarah. One is, you use it as a landmark. Meet me by this Avodah Zarah. And that's showing honor to the Avodah Zarah because you could have easily chosen a different landmark. Why say the Avodah Zarah? Say the post office on the corner. Second, you say the name for no reason whatsoever. And that's Asr because why are you doing that? Why would you say the Avodah Zarah? Third, he says, you refer to the name of an Avodah Zarah for identification purposes in the course of normal conversation because that's the only way to identify it. I want to identify what today's date is. How do I do it without the word February? Right? It's just in order to identify. Now, there is a Tshuvas Malam Shik who says you're not allowed to say it's the year 2017 because Shem Elohim Achirim Lo Saskiru means you're not allowed to even cause others to think of Elohim Achirim. And when you say 2017, you know what everyone thinks. Ah, 2017 years from what? Oh, Jesus. Everyone thinks that. So, question, does everyone actually think that? But the Maram Shik suggests that you shouldn't use secular dates for that reason. But I think we generally assume not that way. So what Rabbi Henkin from Israel wants to suggest is that the Shulchan Aruch only wanted to answer the first and second types of mentioning Shem Avodah Zarah, not the third. Someone who wants to relate an experience that took place in a city, how's he supposed to do it without mentioning the city? The only way to express himself is by mentioning the name of the city. So if there, you're in Nowheresville, Connecticut, and the only landmark there that you could type into Waze is the name of that temple, and you're not doing it to ascribe any, you know, dafka to mention it, or to ascribe any powers to it, or greatness, or, you know, to give it any sort of chashivus, this svara would work. Pashtus is that in this case, the better thing to do would be to say, what's the address of the temple? Because to write an address is no problem. Just don't write the name of the temple. Right? Write an address. Now, Rav Zilberstein is kind of funny. He, you know, he assumes everything's in Hebrew, I guess. Because he says, what's the problem with writing Beis Vav Dalet Hey in a GPS? You could vowelize that however you want. So it could be Bode, not Buddha. So, like Bode Milibo, like something that someone came up with, but that doesn't work in English. I don't know if he knows how English, you know, is different in that sense. I know. Oh, it was developed in Israel. He quotes from the Maran Rosh Yeshiva Shlita when in the Haredi world when they quote Maran Rosh Yeshiva Shlita, Rosh Steinemann. So he says Maran Rosh Yeshiva Shlita in Ayelas HaShachar and Parshas Emor says that by Megadef it's only Dibur, but Ksiva would not be the issue because you could vowelize it however you want. So he also quotes from a Tshuvas Maril Diskin, which I thought was interesting, that the Gemara Makos Tav Chaval V'Meral tells us that Rabbi Shimon holds you're not chayav on Ksuvas Kaka unless you tattoo al basaro shame shel avodah zara. It's one sheet in Tanaim that you're only chayiv for a tattoo if the tattoo is a shame shel avodah zara. So says the Maral Diskin, if ksivas kedibur, you should be chayiv twice. Once for ksivas kaka and once for writing shame shame elim acherim lo saskiru. Ah, you'll tell me shame elim acherim lo saskiru is lav shame b'maisa, but many Rishonim hold that if you do a maisa in this, in that lav shame b'maisa is dependent on how you violated the isir, and if you did a maisa and violated the isir, then it's lav sheish b'maisa. So it should have said you chayv twice. Al maspik ksivas lav kedibur. So maybe you could have that as a sniff lahakel as well. That maybe the ksivas lav kedibur. I thought it made the most sense to just put in the address. Someone, the guy who sent me the shayla, told me he asked Rav Mordechai Willich Shlita Mariv Rabbi, and Rabbi Willich said you could definitely put in the address, but you probably shouldn't say make a right turn at this church or meet me by that, you know, that base of the desire or the other. Okay, have a wonderful Shabbos, everybody.